Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. Begin with verse 33. This is what we are thankful people for. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the Chosen One." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of God for the children of God. Truly, thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, we want to be good stewards. We want to be good stewards of our many, many blessings that God has given us. We want to be good stewards of our time. We want to be good stewards of our money. We want to be good stewards of our food that we have in our homes, our cars, people we hang out with. We want to be good stewards with our church. I mean, sure, this is a beautiful building, but it doesn't mean anything if it's not used for God's glory. Just a fancy house. So we want to be good stewards in all that we do. Got to tell you a story. Oh, give me the, yeah. There's something in here I need the reference. There was a dog, a large dog, walked into a butcher shop one day, and it had a purse in its mouth. And the dog went up to the meat case and put the purse down and sat down. And the butcher looked over the case and saw the purse and the dog and said, "Well, can I help you?" The dog said, "Woof." And the butcher said, "I guess you'd like to purchase some meat?" "Woof." "Okay, what would you like? Ham? Bacon? Steak?" "Woof." "Steak. Steak it is." Boy, the butcher was really amazed. And the butcher says, "So how much would you like? A half pound? A pound?" "Woof." "A pound, okay." So the amazed butcher just couldn't get over it. He wrapped up the meat, looked in the purse, got out the money, gave the meat and the purse back to the dog, and the dog trotted out the door. Butcher says, "I got to see this." And so the butcher followed along. And that dog trotted for 3 blocks, went into an apartment building, up 3 flights of stairs. And that butcher was right behind him. And that dog went up to a door and started scratching. And a man jerked open the door and started yelling at the dog. And the butcher said, hey, you shouldn't be yelling at such an intelligent animal. And the man looked at the butcher and said, intelligent? That's the third time this week he's forgot his key. That man was definitely not thankful for what he had. On the other hand, there's a woman named Pam who works in downtown Chicago. She's on her work every morning. She parks in the garage and she has to walk a little bit to get to her office building. And she always passes by this old brick church. And in front of that old brick church was a middle-aged woman wearing a shabby coat who was always soliciting, begging for spare change. Pam got into the habit of helping her out. The woman was pleasant. She greeted everybody with a big smile and a real nice good morning. So Pam would go up and give her some of her change. This went on for a long time, and after about a year, one day the woman wasn't there. Pam missed seeing her. Day after day she went by, the woman wasn't there, and then one day the woman was standing there, again in her old shabby coat. And so Pam walked up to her, reached in her purse, and the woman said, no, I don't need any change. She says, I just wanted to be here today to look for the people who have helped me over the years and give them something. And she pulled out a donut that was all wrapped up and gave it to Pam. She says, I got a job. She goes, I just wanted to say thank you for what you've done for me. And that's what she did for everybody who had helped her out. That woman was thankful. Now, Jesus and his disciples are walking along the road and out in the countryside there. And all of a sudden, way across the other side of the road, there are 10 men standing there, 10 lepers. And they see Jesus and they've heard the stories and they yell out, Jesus, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And so Jesus does. And Jesus tells them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And the scriptures tell us that as the 10 men went, they were healed as they went. And as soon as they saw that they were healed, one man turned around and ran back and in a loud voice threw himself at Jesus' feet, yelling out loudly, praising God, thanking God for his healing. Jesus says, weren't there 10? Where are the other 9? Why was this only person who came back, and him a foreigner, why is it only one? See, that man was a Samaritan, scriptures say. Samaritans and the Jews, I've already explained that one, you know, they didn't see eye to eye, they didn't get along. But that man didn't care. He didn't care. All mattered to him was that he had this deadly disease and he was healed. And he knew that it was because of Jesus. And so he threw himself at Jesus' feet, worshiping. And so Jesus looks at that man and he says, you know, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Now, you got to understand something about leprosy. You know, we talk about it all the time and how it's in the Bible. But leprosy was the killer disease of that day. The cancer that just destroyed the body. Leprosy, they didn't have the medical facilities and the doctors and everything that we have today. And when you got leprosy, it was a death sentence. But it didn't kill you right away. Your hair would turn white. You'd have sores all over your body from your head to your toes. Your fingers and toes would become atrophied and fall off because of lack of circulation. Your nerve endings would go dead. Sometimes even body parts, your arms and legs would fall off. Your nose, lips, your ears would just dissolve. And you weren't allowed to come into contact with any human being, not even close to them. So you had to turn your back on your families, on your life. and you had to live with other lepers and watch their suffering while they watched your suffering until you died, and leprosy could take up to 30 years to kill you. A slow, agonizing death. And on top of all that was the constant stench of decaying flesh. And we've all smelled that driving down the road in that dead deer laying along the road. Dead animals. They stink. You imagine living with that day after day? No wonder that man ran back to Jesus, giving God thanks. What happened to the other nine? Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priest. Why the priest? Because the priest is the public official who is to declare a person clean or unclean. You had to see the priest in order to be allowed to return back to life, to your family, to work. You had to be declared clean by the priest first. And those other nine lepers were so excited, so thrilled at the idea of getting back to their families and their way of life that they just rushed off to see that priest. But the one leper saw the big picture, recognized where his healing came from. The other nine were healed physically, but the one leper was healed physically and spiritually, for Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." And the Greek for that is saved. That "well," that word that's used, means saved. So there was salvation for his spirit as well as his body. Here's a really important thing. Let those who have ears hear. Jesus could have went up to them and healed each one. "You're healed, you're healed." Because he healed other lepers like that. He touched lepers, which he's not allowed to do, but he did it anyways. He touched them and healed them. But to these 10 lepers, he didn't go over and touch them. Instead, he told them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." They were still lepers when he said go. They were still lepers when they turned and started heading towards the priest. But at some point in their journey to get to the temple to see the priest, all of a sudden the sores went away, the hair turned back, limbs grew, nerve endings returned, there was tingling all over their body, their flesh became like newborn babies. And they're like, "What's going on?" Look, and they're looking at each other, and the limbs are growing out, and they're healed as they went. Here's the really cool thing is, when Jesus told them to go, they went. That was their step of faith. They believed in the healing that Jesus said they were going to have, even though they didn't have it. How many times do we as Christians pray for something in our lives and we won't believe until we see it? Where is our thankfulness? Where is our trust? We have to learn as Christians that we serve an almighty God and that we have a direct pipeline to him. And that the word of God is living and alive, and it's true, and it's greater than anything that we can see, hear, feel, taste, smell, touch in this world. We've got to believe more in the word of God than in what is going on around us. We've got to be thankful. And the reason I wanted this was to reference, and you would think I should just remember it, but you don't trust my... Oh, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Say 1 Thessalonians 5:18.
1 Thessalonians 5:18.
Okay. "In all things give thanks." In all things give thanks. In all things. In good things and in bad things. Why do we give thanks? Because we serve an almighty God. because Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his pleasure, his purpose. In all things, God is working for our good. So no matter what's going on, we know it's going to be okay, and we can give thanks. See, it's easy to thank God for what we already have. That doesn't take faith. Here's a check for $10,000 made out to Bruce Judy. Already signed. All I got to do is take it to the bank. This is cash in hand. Thank you, God. But that doesn't require any faith, does it? Because it's right here in hand. Still just a check, but it's cash in hand. It's good. It's on a good bank, good person. But to believe God for a healing, to quote the scriptures that the chastisement of my peace is upon Jesus, by his stripes I am healed, I feel a healing coming on. To believe that God says you're going to have that business, God says you're going to have that job, God says I'm going to bless your marriage, you're going to get through this, it's going to be fine. When things around you don't look good, when things are falling apart, that takes faith. And so we say, thank you, God. Because to say thank you, God, means I trust more in God than I trust in what's going on around me. And that's what those lepers, they trusted more in Jesus than they did in their leprosy. And so as they went, they were healed. So what's the big deal about the one guy coming back? Jesus expects us to be a thankful people. Jesus expects us to come back and say thank you for what we have. By saying thank you, we're showing our trust in God. So this Thanksgiving, when you go around the supper table, as I know a lot of us do, and you give thanks, everybody takes turns. There, you know, again, we'll be at Bonnie's sister's place. Don and Rob's up there in New Brighton at their farm, and be about 25, 30 of us shooting clay pigeons. We do that for a couple of hours. Then a bunch of us go across the street, and we load up the handguns, and we shoot targets. Then we come over to Haas, and we clean guns, and we maybe play pinochle. And then we Rob deep fries the turkey, and we sit around a table, and we have a wonderful supper. And we go around the table before we get started and we give thanks. I like to go around three times. It makes it a little bit more difficult. But I would encourage all of us this year to give thanks not for what we already have, but to give thanks for something that you don't have, but something you need, something you want, something you believe God is going to bless you with, but you don't have it yet. Give thanks. It'll show your trust in God. God loves you, and so do I. Happy Thanksgiving.